Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1 p.m. and that is Pacific Standard Time. And today is January 25th, and it's a momentous day because we have a very strong performance on Wall Street, and not just on Wall Street. If we look at global markets, the majority are in positive territory, and in fact, it was Europe that outperformed the Wall Street today. But of course, when we look at the Dow Jones, it is surmounting the 20,000 level for the first time, so an historic day. And this is perhaps the most important factor, is not so much that it is now breaking out, but that its reaction and consolidation that began in the middle of December has been so inert, has been so small relative to the size of the advance, and now we're getting a very emphatic upward break. That is a testament to, I think, continued optimism that we are going to have an additional round of economic growth, of corporate profit expansion. And I posted the chart yesterday of the corporate profits in the US, and it was last updated at the end of September. It will next be updated on the 27th, so that should take us through to the end of the year. And one of the reasons that the majority of, or perhaps it's too much to say the majority, but a significant number of shares are breaking on the upside is because there is renewed optimism about the outlook for corporate profits. When we look at the corporate profits chart, then we can see that it has a rather striking similarity overall to the stock market over the last few years. It had done spectacularly well after 2008. It went sideways, and that allowed the overextension relative to the trend mean to be unwound, and provided, and of course it is an uncertainty, provided it does break on the upside, that will lend an additional tailwind, or at least a confirming tailwind, to the stock market. And before I started the audio, I used the chart library's filter to search the International Equity Library, and I selected the USA and the S&P 500, and I sorted then by five-year new highs. And there are a significant number of shares that are breaking to new all-time or even or significant new highs. Now, when we look at, for example, John Deere, we get a great example of that. It went sideways for 5 years and now is breaking on the upside. And CenterPoint Energy, Citrix Systems, Symantec, Dow Chemical, Progressive Corp, Rockwell Automation, Microchip Technologies, Motorola. Well, I guess what's left of it, Motorola Solutions, M&T Bank, Unum Group, Corning, Republic Services, CSX has, which of course is a railway, has been rapidly pricing in the potential for renewed economic growth and greater volumes to be traded in the US. But it is obviously now accelerating. Intuit, Boeing, breaking on the upside. Now, what is important is that you will see in the upper right-hand corner of all of these charts that they were updated yesterday. There is this, so the number of shares that are breaking to new all-time highs will be greater tomorrow. These are, in fact, the shares that were making new highs yesterday. And not only do we see that there is a significant number are in the high technology sector or the banking sector or the transportation sector, that what we really have evidence of is that it is reasonably well a broad-based expansion, and that this is a resumption of medium-term bull market trends for the majority of these shares. So when we go back and we look at the S&P 500, for example, which is perhaps a better measure than specifically the Dow Jones, we have that rather large and volatile period of trading that lasted for almost a year and a half. And then we get the emphatic upward break. We get the the market coming right back and testing the upper side of the underlying range, and now we get the resumption of the bull market trend. So this was an example of a medium-term correction, corrective phase, consolidation within the context of a much wider bull market environment. And we do have to consider, because I think that it is something that has infected the way that people think about markets, is that in the period between 2000 and 2012, we had two very profound crashes, and they were enormously debilitating to sentiment, but they also taught people a lesson. And the lesson that people learned was that you can't trust new highs. You can't trust a bull market after it's been going up for a while, because then you're going to experience this massive crash. But that has to be taken against the background of a market that had been trending incredibly consistently for the previous almost 20 years. So now we have to consider, what lessons should we learn? Should we learn from the experience of the secular bear market, which resulted in very lengthy ranging and very volatile trading? Or should we learn from the previous bull market, where when you did have recessions, yes, you certainly got big pullbacks, but they were by no means of the same magnitude that we had in between 2000 and 2003, or between 2007 and early 2009. And that is something that I think that is the most likely possible scenario, that we are in a new secular bull market, that when we do get pullbacks, they are not going to be in the order of the kind of drawdowns that we had in 2008, that we will, of course, have recessions in the context of a bull market that could keep going for over 20 years, and they will represent buying opportunities. And this is a very powerful bull market. And it is, of course, being really pushed along by the belief that there will be movement on some very big issues that are likely to be beneficial for corporate profits, not least deregulation and corporate taxation coming down, and potentially even the tax code being simplified. And in addition to all of that, fiscal stimulus. Well, Europe did do better today, and the Euro Stoxx index was a bit firmer. Europe is coming from a very different environment. It has been really trading with, fighting its challenges with one arm tied behind its back, because of this fiscal stagnation and self-imposed, almost self-destructive. And certainly we have evidence of self-destructive tendencies within the EU over the last decade. By insisting on fiscal rectitude, they have forced a lot of countries into a corner. And realistically, if the EU is going to be held together, and there is still on continental Europe a great belief in the European project. So they do want to hold it together, but how are they going to do that? They need to abandon this fiscal rectitude. They have to try and stimulate the economy, try and get people back to work, because there is absolutely no way that the debts that are outstanding and that have been pushed onto governments are ever going to get paid back without growth. And Europe has not had a growth strategy. And that has been most particularly true of the periphery, that have always relied on the ability to devalue their currencies. And they just have not been able to do that for the last almost 20 years. So the euro has been quite volatile, and it was a little bit firmer in here today. We can see that there is a progression of lower rally highs. It has not yet broken that progression of lower rally highs. It has certainly staged an impressive short-term rally. It is not a consistent trend, therefore we can anticipate that it is going to be volatile. we could look with an untrained eye and say that that is potentially a failed downside break. But we also know that there is a downward bias and that it just has to do more. It needs to break the progression of lower rally highs, and not least because rallies have not been sustained, and we have those tails on the candle to give us evidence of that. So it needs to get back above the 200-day moving average. And quite apart from that, it needs to sustain a move above the 200-day moving average. Now, the pound today was stronger by a full cent. Then we had that quite clear upward dynamic just last week, and it has continued to improve upon that. We are now approaching the upper side of that short-term range, and this has been a relatively similar-sized rally within the context of what has been quite a consistent downtrend. By the time the pound gets back up to the upper side of its range, it will probably coincide with the region of the trend mean, and it is at that point that short traders will be probing it on the downside once more. So they will be looking at a potential entry point for a short position, and if the pound is in fact finding support and not just in the short term, well then it will hold to the majority of its gains, and it will be able to sustain a move above the trend mean. And of course, there isn't a great deal of appetite in the UK for a stronger currency, and perhaps the best that might be wished for in London is that they can stabilize the currency, and that rather than having it appreciate. But the UK is dynamic in terms of its response to what it sees as an environment that has been the antithesis of growth oriented for the last decade. And that dynamism that has been expressed in the UK is quite different to the that adherence to a very strict interpretation of Austrian economics that has been imposed by Germany and creditor nations on debtor nations within Europe. And it does suggest that the UK will come out of all of this in a better competitive state. And the weakness of the pound is at least part of that. Now, because the pound has been a bit firmer, it has taken a short-term toll on the FTSE. The FTSE has been pulling back in line with the pound rallying. But because so much of the earnings of the FTSE are not denominated in pounds, then that is unlikely to have a very long-lasting effect on the ability of the index to continue to sustain its breakout to new all-time highs. It has been ranging for considerably longer than Wall Street, but it is now in a position that we may get a first step above this long base. It may consolidate somewhat between here and 7,000 and still be in a bull market environment. And if we do continue to see that the breakouts on Wall Street are sustained and are improved upon, well then that should translate into a better performance on European stock markets and stock markets just about everywhere else. The one of the markets that was breaking on the upside today was Vietnam, and that is an additional example of the fact that if we do have global growth, then that is a tide that lifts all boats. We went through a period of time where we had global economic synchronized global economic expansion. We went through a period of time where we had synchronized global monetary expansion. We may very well be entering a time where we have synchronized global fiscal expansion. One way or the other, that's going to be a tailwind for stock markets generally. If it's a tailwind for stock markets, it's not particularly good news for bond markets. And bonds today were down by a full point on the long end. This has been a modest rally at the very long end of the curve. And when we look at the futures price, then we can see that it has not come, it is perhaps only unwound about half of its overextension relative to the trend mean. And if the even if the argument for an additional rally to completely unwind that overextension is to remain credible, then the low will have to hold. And it isn't just US Treasuries where you see that. German Bunds were also weaker today by a full point. And when we look at the German Bund yield, it has doubled in a very short period of time, and the yield is now also breaking on the upside. This does look like a risky trade. Yields are extraordinarily low, and they were in negative territory for a very significant period last year. And if, well, we can say that I think we would have said a while ago that they can't really go below zero, and now we can say with greater confidence that they can't really stay below zero. So there is a very logical element to all of this, and the fact is that Germany has risks, and there is nothing on that chart that says that yields are not going to expand further. The US dollar index had been testing the 100 level and has closed below it. We have had quite a bit of volatility today. Part of the reason that gold prices had pulled back so sharply is because the dollar had been strong in early trading, but now we can see that gold is finding support and is at least putting a tail on that candle. The precious metal that pulled back most was palladium, and it had pulled back by $62. When we look at that on the weekly chart, we can see that it has been a choppy uptrend for the last year, that breaks to new recovery highs have not been sustained. What the most consistent thing about it has been that it has held the progression of higher reaction lows, and it does look like that it is now going to unwind that short-term overbought condition. Of course, the big question will be when it gets back towards that 200-day moving average or around the 700 level, will it then be a buy? Platinum prices had tested the $1,000 level yesterday and pulled back by $20 today, unwinding just about all of yesterday's advance. But with the dollar not being able to sustain its intraday strength, then perhaps there is potential tomorrow for some additional upside. And of course, if we look at the dollar, what is the currency that it has been strongest against? It has to be the Mexican peso. And the Mexican peso accelerated lower on President Trump's election, but it has now found at least short-term support. It must be about just about the most unloved of all international markets, and yet the national index, which of course is in nominal terms, has been, well, it did break out, and it has now bounced from the region of the upper side of that underlying range. So that does look like it is going to reassume its medium-term bull market. But of course, that doesn't give us a very good can't talk and chew gum, sorry. That is when we look at the iShares Mexico ETF, it gives us a better depiction really of how the stock market has been performing, and it is actually giving us a an inverse view of that Mexican peso chart. It is so we are seeing at least the short-term oversold condition being unwound. The big question now is whether it is going to be able to sustain a move above the trend mean and break that what has been an almost 4-year downtrend. So there's a lot going on in these markets, and not least because we have an entirely new administration in Washington that is pro-business. And just yesterday, we had the prospect that the Keystone Pipeline might be opened up once more again. Canada now has plans to build pipelines going east, west, and south, because they can't very well go north, and or any further north, and that is potentially a very important factor for the global energy markets, because Canada has enormous reserves which have been largely stranded, and it has been a bit player in the global energy markets for a long time. That could change if Canada has a better, an easier route to export its crude. And with President Trump using that carrot as a potential bargaining chip in any renegotiation of NAFTA. There is certainly the potential that Canada could come out of this, at least its energy sector could come out of negotiations in much better form. Oil prices remain range bound, and it just goes to show that there are significant issues with a bullish story beyond the short term. It is entirely down to OPEC's ability to cut supply, and they had difficulty enough removing a million barrels. What happens if they would be required to cut another million barrels, or even more than that? That would be a significant ask for a number of these countries that are already in deficit because oil prices are not at where they need them to be in order to justify their rather extravagant social programs. When we look at Asia, the Nikkei was up somewhat today. The Japanese yen has not weakened by a great deal. In fact, it had been stronger and finished out the day a little bit weaker. I think that there is the potential that Japan may not be the stock market that outpaces the advances on Wall Street. If the dollar remains reasonably steady, then that's quite a tailwind for the U.S. market. And it is the U.S. market that has certainly the leadership, it has the technological advantage, it has the energy advantage, and it could very well have the governance advantage in the not foreseeable, not too far future. So then it really does look like that Wall Street is one of the only games in town, and that one is looking elsewhere for catch-up plays rather than leadership plays. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.